This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. And as I always say, this program is important for all people who believe in the right for their own people to preserve their heritage and their rights. Globalism is a real threat to all people. It's destructive of our heritage. The only nation that's truly able to pursue protective policies of its, quote, DNA in an open fashion is, of course, the state of Israel. Israel forbids marriage between Jews and non-Jews. It even forbids marriage between Jews and Jews, that is, religious Jews of the Kohanim class, and religious Jews who are not Kohanim, if they have a single drop of non-Jewish blood. What other religion is like that in the world, ladies and gentlemen, that forbids a person of the same religion from marrying? By their law, by their institutions, Israel does this. Now, just today, there's an article across the world about how, once again, the Israeli courts upheld, that's right, upheld an Israeli law that prevents the uniting of Palestinian spouses with Jewish Israeli wives or husbands. Now, there's no worldwide condemnation by this from our liberal-dominated Jewish press. The New York Times isn't issuing editorials against this policy. There's no call to Israel. There's no effort whatsoever to do that. And why? Why? Because there's a double standard when it comes to Israel as compared to the rest of the world. There's a double standard when it comes to, quote, Jews as the rest of the world. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting to you that all Jews are racist or that all Jews are extremist. That's not the case at all. There are certain individual Jews who are fair-minded and certainly decent. There are certain individual Jews who are opposed to the racist apartheid state of Israel. There are certain individual Jews who believe that Jews should be consistent and not have special standards as compared to other people. But unfortunately, the racist, the hyper-supremacist element, extremist element among the Jews are in control of the major Jewish communities around the world. The American Jewish Committee, the auspices of the Jewish faith, whether it be Reform, Conservative, or Orthodox. And by the way, well, it's only the United States where there's any sort of serious Reform or Conservative movement. The rest of the world is pretty much Orthodox. And that's the most radical form of Jewry. But there isn't a law, and there is an article. In fact, there's an article in the news in The Independent in Britain and many other publications. How that, in fact, The Independent article is titled Racist Marriage Law Upheld by Israel. Israel's High Court has narrowly upheld a law denying Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza married to Israeli citizens the right to live in the country with their spouses. Now, these laws even prevent an Israeli who's married to someone overseas from being united with their husband or their wife, if in fact they are non-Jewish. In Israel, of course, there is no legal marriage. Israel will not consecrate marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. And of course, Israel, as I said earlier, will not even consecrate a marriage between two Jews if one of the Jews is a Kohanim, which is their elite class, it's sort of the SS of Israel, with another Jew who happens to have any Gentile blood. As you know, some people can convert to Judaism, but as I talk about very fully in Jewish supremacism, and as I document by my Jewish sources in Jewish supremacism and mainstream sources as it is, as they are, I document very clearly that the Jewish faith allows a degree of converts. They don't seek converts, and converts are definitely treated as second-class Jews. And no convert or descendant of a convert is allowed to become a Jewish priest by Jewish law. Again, most people in the world don't know this and don't understand this. And, you know, there have been many Jews, of course, who've had major positions in the Christian church, the Catholic church, other things. There have been no Gentiles who've had major positions in the Jewish apparatus and the Jewish religion. And they specifically don't convert, they don't seek converts because, again, the Jewish religion is based truly on blood, on descent, and on heritage. Even circumcision itself was adopted as a barrier. It's very difficult for an adult male, obviously, to convert to Judaism if it means that some Jewish priest somewhere will be using perhaps a dull knife on his penis and possibly, enduring the pain, the possibility of infection, even losing his penis, or, in fact, even losing his life from such a procedure. I mean, it's one thing to circumcise a child. It's something else, again, to circumcise an adult. It's a tremendous barrier opposed or against conversion to Judaism. And I believe that this was really started as a means of, as a barrier, as a means of preventing and slowing down any sort of conversion to Judaism. Not that the Jews necessarily seek any converts, because they really don't. They make it very difficult for converts all the way along the way, and they do so purposely. When they talk about Jewish people, they're talking about Jewish heritage, not people who endorse or believe in the Jewish religion. Now, I want to say something, too, to make sure people understand that I'm no hypocrite on the issue. I don't condemn Jews for wanting to preserve their unique and specific Jewish heritage. I do condemn Jews for wanting to preserve their heritage, but for telling everyone else on earth that it's somehow evil if you want to preserve your own heritage. If whites want to preserve their heritage, they are terribly horrible people. If Palestinians want to do so, they're terribly horrible people. If anyone in America tried to make a law against intermarriage between, say, a white and a black person, it would be roundly condemned. It wouldn't be allowed in the United States of America, and there would be a torrent of abuse that would be heaped upon those individuals. But somehow Israel can get away with it. You know, we had sanctions against South Africa, but look at Israel. I think Jewish people should preserve their heritage. But I just want you to take a look and notice the incredible amount of hypocrisy that's going on in terms of the Jewish community. They promote this. I mean, they promote intermarriage for Europeans and others around the world, but they themselves support the state of Israel, which doesn't allow intermarriage, and at the same time, they support programs meant to lessen intermarriage of Jews and non-Jews, specifically as a program. They also specifically talk about the absolute need for Israel to preserve its demographic structure. That is, that Jews never become a minority in the nation of Israel. Somehow, though, European Americans are not allowed to maintain their majority. As I show in Jewish supremacism in America, and we're losing it very rapidly now, and again, the people behind it, the people dominating the effort for amnesty for illegal aliens, dominating the effort to open our borders, and they've done this colossal effort both in politics, in media, in academia, They've done this effort. They've committed themselves to this effort for over 100 years in American history, and their work, their efforts are now moving to fruition, and we're seeing a situation where America will be a nation, where we'll be a minority in our own country. And that minority status, by the way, is why we got to this mess in Israel to begin with. And I will tell this to my Palestinian friends and my friends in the Middle East and elsewhere, that you have to understand that the breaking down of European-American leadership and heritage in the United States of America has led directly to things such as the foundation of Israel, the Iraq War, perhaps the coming of war in Iran, the policies that have so harmed the Middle Eastern people, because American policy, of course, is now being created and being controlled by Jewish supremacists. And it's in the interest of Jewish supremacists, not in the interest of the United States of America. Another comment I want to make really quickly here is I also read today that President Putin has made a really fantastic speech warning the Russian people on population decline. As you probably know, Russia, as well as the rest of the white world, has a catastrophic population decline going on because of extremely low birth rates. And these birth rates are basically going to eliminate the Russian people and the European people and the American people. People, as the majority at least of our countries are today, it's going to eliminate us from the earth. Because Russia has many pressures with immigration. Russia has many pressures with intermarriage. Russia has tremendous problems in the future. And the birth rate that Russia has at the present moment is one that will literally decimate the Russian people unless it changes. And Putin is making a very strong appeal. He said that Russia's declining population is the biggest problem the state faces today. Now, that is a great comment by someone who's a lot more honest with his people than the President of the United States. It is the greatest problem. Obviously, the destruction of a people, the decimation of a people, the numbers of a nation, are the founding elements of a nation, of the core of the nation, you know, of the Russian nation. Russians are overwhelmingly the majority, not in all the Russian Federation. They are the heartbeat of their country. And in America, we have the same kind of thing. It reminds me of the old Chevrolet commercial. You know, it says Chevrolet is the heartbeat of America. Well, let me tell you, European Americans are the heartbeat of America. Every founder of our Constitution of the United States, every writer of our Declaration of Independence, you know, were in fact European Americans. We are the heartbeat of America, and as we go, I guarantee you, so goes the America, at least the America of our forefathers, the America that we envision and believe in and dream about, and the thing that the kind of nation that our forefathers wanted for us and for our children. In an annual address to the nation, Mr. Putin said that falling birth rates and the rise in mortality made Russia's demographic situation critical. He outlined a national program to encourage women to have more children, pledging more state help. Mr. Putin also said that Russia should follow America's suit and spend more time on its army to be able to defend itself. He described the United States as a fortress, saying its defense budget was almost 25 times that of Russia's. Quote, "Their America's home is their castle. Well done. It means we should build our own house strongly and reliably. He also warned that it was premature to speak of the end of the arms race in the world, saying that, in fact, it was going faster and was rising to a new technological level. He also touched on some other issues, including talking about corruption, describing the corruption in Russia as one of the most serious obstacles to Russian growth. And ladies and gentlemen, the listeners of my program know quite well where much of this corruption is coming from. The oligarchs who stole 60% or more of Russian wealth and resources, as you know, The oligarchs are almost entirely Jewish supremacists, and this corruption that they have meted against the Russian people is incredible. Israel has a television program, in fact, right now called The Oligarchs, where they talk about all the Jewish oligarchs and they laugh about the silly, stupid Russians and how the oligarchs, he's super rich, I mean incredibly rich, people worth billions of dollars, how they control and rule over and live an entirely different lifestyle than the Russian people. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Russia is facing an incredible demographic crisis, and so is the United States of America. I want to discuss something else. There's been a candidate who I met recently, Larry Darby, who's running in Alabama. And Darby is an interesting guy. He's certainly a person who believes in the preservation of European Americans in our country. He also has very outspoken opinions on the Holocaust and many other issues. But it's interesting, the focus in their attacks on Darby aren't his complete and extensive program on everything from Social Security to medical care to medical insurance rates to immigration to forced busing to affirmative action. No, they simply focus on his views of the Holocaust. In a recent Associated Press article, it's headlined, quote, "Furor over candidate in Alabama who, quote, denies Holocaust," unquote. Democratic leaders in Alabama are wondering what to do about a candidate for attorney general who denies the Holocaust occurred and wants to reawaken white racial awareness. Larry Darby. And ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of interesting. Again, our enemies focus on things, and of course, most people, I think, both in America and in Europe, believe in the absolute orthodox view of the Holocaust, or the view of the mainstream Holocaust teachers. There are dissenting views, though. And there's many arguments about what the nature of this, of the Holocaust was, and the numbers involved, and the programs involved, and Mr. Darby has opinions. But that has very little to do in a race for the Attorney General of Alabama. But all the issues, you see, are focused by Jewish issues, by Jewish concerns in the United States of America. As far as Darby's content his literature to reawaken white racial awareness, you know, what's wrong with white awareness? What's wrong with the awareness of any people of their heritage, of the fact that they have rights and those rights are being taken away by affirmative action? That their country is changing to the point where they will be a minority in their own land, that the cultural values of, say, Mexico and other people who are not European American will replace their own values. What's wrong with that? There seems to be nothing wrong with Jews reawakening Jewish awareness, Jewish heritage, Jewish principles. In fact, it's talked about almost every day. It's okay for Israel to have an immigration policy only for Jews, and it's based on blood, DNA, not even on religious belief. An atheist Jew from anywhere in the world can immigrate to Israel. Again, the hypocrisy is amazing, and it continues every day in the United States of America and around the world. This program, the David Duke Online Live Web Radio Broadcast, is about breaking those myths. It's about breaking and exposing that hypocrisy. It's about showing the world the real truth, the ugly truth about Jewish supremacism, so we all know what it's all about. As I show in the current issue of the Duke Report, which is now, right now, being prepared for mailing, it'll be in the post offices tomorrow, and you'll be receiving them, some of you this weekend, some of you next week. I have an extensive article on the Chabad Lubavitcher movement and the Chabad rabbis that are in the White House, actually inside the White House. I have to have a picture of them celebrating with the new Jewish and radical Jewish, I should say, extremist Jew, Joshua Bolton, who is now setting White House policy. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot for being with me today. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. I have a bit of being under the weather. As you know, I have a horrendous schedule. I've traveled recently from Eastern Europe. It's 9 hours ahead of Central Daylight Time. That's right. Central Daylight Savings Time. It's 9 hours ahead in Eastern and Far Eastern Europe. It's almost like turning the clock upside down. So as we're doing this program now at almost 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and from Eastern Daylight Time, we're talking about an 8-hour difference. It is what is now practically 6 o'clock in the morning. So coming from Eastern Europe over the last few days, it's as if I have been up all night. And I tell you, you try to go to sleep, and you really can't go to sleep when you should, and then you wake up in the middle of the night because it's full daytime where you came from. They say you need about a day to recover from every hour of jet lag or every time zone that you pass, and I think that's just about true. It's an incredible difficulty, and my schedule has been very, very rough over the last few weeks. Many, many lectures, much work, very little sleep, many hours of struggle. And I tell you, sometimes I think the mental aspect of the fight is so difficult. It's so disturbing to see the degradation that is affecting our people, that is harming our children. It's so terrible to see the continual decline of our numbers, both in Europe and America, and to understand the fact that unless we wake up, unless we begin to defend our heritage, that we will lose all, everything of real importance in the world to ourselves and to our children. For heaven's sakes, people, wake up. Do what you've got to do to protect your children. Spread this word. I've heard a lot recently of people who have read my books, My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism. The books are still doing great in the world. I've got to raise some money for getting them reprinted. It's going to take a lot of money because you've got to get a lot of copies or you really can't have a decent price. As you know, my books sell quite reasonably for $29 and $25 and for a very, very professional copy with a nice hardback, stitched binding, and very good paper. And full color process on the cover and a lot of photographs and so forth in the volume. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, people often ask me, well, why don't you print it in paperback and you get something that's cheaper? Well, actually, the book I believe it's a profound book. At least the result of the reaction to the book around the world kind of shows that it is. And a hardback book with a hardback cover with modern technology, a stitched cover, it's very little bit, it's just a small amount more in terms of overall price than a paperback book. If you notice, if you go into a college bookstore or you go into and you find a nice, heavy, oversized book, I'm not talking about a pocket book, but an oversized book, you'll find very few selling for less than $30, $40. I've got a hardback stitch book that sells for $30, and it gives people something that they can read comfortably. Pages don't fall out, and they can refer back to it in the future, and I can guarantee you they will continue to refer to this book because of the data that's in it. If you've not ordered the book yet, I hope that you do, and I hope that you do your best in helping me spread this work, these ideas, around both the Internet and around your community. I need your help to continue this work. I'm doing the best I can. I'm very, very tired right now. But I'm doing this show, and I'm asking you that no matter how tired you get, or no matter how discouraged you get, or how depressed you might feel by the way that the world is going, the way our communities are going, that you will not give up, that you will not lose heart, that you will dedicate yourself to doing your duty, no matter what the outcome. I believe we can win the battle ahead of us. I'm absolutely convinced of that fact. But even if I didn't believe that, I would still invest my life, my future, and risk all, because I know that unless we succeed in this cause, my children have no future, my grandchildren have no future, and my extended family, which is indeed my race, my people, would be facing sure extinction. President Putin is beginning to talk about this terrible threat in Russia. It's about time we had a president that did. His State of the Union address on immigration was a complete washout and a complete abandonment of the critical issues facing our country in terms of immigration. Thanks so much for being with me, and I'll certainly be with you tomorrow night.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.